Well, how do y'all get our sound adjusted? I've got kind of a loud voice. I got my boots on this morning. It's running a little late. I had trouble sleeping last night. A little excited or nervous or both about coming here and talking. Finally, I got up and drank some of that herbal tea, went back to bed. My cat laid on top of me. So I'm a little... And then I had to run out to my garden and pick some salad stuff to bring for the potluck. Now, aren't these times that we're in? Agree? Well, it wasn't long ago it was dry, so dry that our throats were so parched a fellow could hardly swallow. And then along came, we had the fires with the smoke. And I couldn't hardly breathe. I've got breathing problems. I've got asthma and COPD. And that about ran me out of my house.
Well, that came really close to your house.
Yeah, and at night it kind of settled into the valley. And then just this last week or so, the weather's been just like spring, middle of the winter. So I've been getting out in my garden, doing a little weeding, cleaning up, and I noticed that in the fall, I let plants go to seed and drop seeds in the garden, hoping they'll germinate and, you know, I won't have to do so much work in the spring. I noticed under the weeds, I had little lettuces coming up, so I carefully weed out, you know, all those weeds. And I don't know about you, but I've got chickweed in my garden. Y'all got chickweed? And it grows all winter. And it's when you're back on it, it will plumb cover your whole garden with this green carpet. So I got to thinking about, well, how can I deal with this chickweed? And I thought, well, you know, it's kind of like a skin on an animal. And if you've ever skinned an animal, all you do is you kind of pull up that skin and take a knife, and you just cut right under that green part and roll it back. So I just roll it back like a big carpet. Then I flip it over, let the dirt dry out, and then rake it out. So you might want to try that in your garden.
I eat it.
Yeah. Or you can eat it too. But I've got so much chickweed, you'd never be able to eat it. I didn't come to talk to you about gardening, although it's a big part of the story I have to tell you. So maybe I better begin. You might notice I didn't mention anything about the political winds going on here that are stirring up dirt in the yard. This is too depressing to contemplate. Well, look, now I've mentioned it anyway, but I'll go on.
Thank you.
So this is journey to Coweta. Now you might want to know a little more about Coweta. Coweta is my home. It's a little valley, or what I call, you know, where I live. It's a small valley north of the hydrologic land. And right about when you get to the mouth of the valley, that's where the power stops. And then you get on a little single track road and you wander up and down and around, and pretty soon you get back to where I am. Coweta is a Creek word meaning mountain lion people. It was a Creek village a little south of Georgia, and I'm sure they inhabited this valley. There are lots of artifacts and stuff that have been found in the valley. So I'm off the grid. You don't have much choice. And it's mighty quiet back there. When people come to visit, I say, well, I need to give you directions. And they usually say, no, I got that GPS. It'll get me there. I go, no way. And sure enough, they're wandering all up and over the mountain, you know, trying to find me. And then they'll try to call me on their cell phone. Well, that didn't work either. And if you come up there, you might notice your watch starts slowing down and stopping. So it's kind of a walk back in history coming back in this valley. And there's walk back in time, and there's lots of history there. And I've explored, you know, learned a little bit about that. I won't go into it now. But anyway, my talk is about journey to Coweta, how I got there. But not just how I got to this place in my life physically, but how I came, how did the universe conspire being? Am I where I'm supposed to be? How do I know I'm at the right place? Can't I just pick up and leave if I'm not happy? So I'd like to take you on a spiritual journey of discovery of who I am, how I got here, and an unfolding of my life story. So I wrote 20 pages, and I'm thinking, no way I'm going to get through this. So, finish it today. I may get tired talking, and so in simplest terms, my gifts that I've received during my life, and how these gifts have worked through me, and I've got some kind of show you and tell you about. Here's a little painting of a trailer. I live in a little travel trailer right now, and I'm building a house. I'm building a house into the mountain. Our gift is God. Our gift and what they're blind to. But we inherit this, but we're not bound to that. And we can learn a lot from our parents, you know. Oh, I don't want to be like that. On a more pragmatic view, I want to know about how my parents got here. A little bit of ancestry. And I'm not good at facts and names and dates and all that. So I think what's really I'm going to skip some of this. My mother is finishing up her second book on her autobiography. Quite a task. She uses a computer. She puts in pictures. She's 99. And, you know, you think for somebody that old to learn how to use a computer and all, that's pretty amazing. She proclaims proudly that she's just lived through her 100th Christmas. And she often says that she isn't 99, but is living in her 100th year. So I can see her. She might live to be 103, who knows. She's a survivor, and this is part of her heritage of her family, who left Germany and moved through Europe as political and religious winds shifted. To accept great challenges, odds that would try to crush her. One might say it was providence that her relatives made it to America. Some of them came and lived on an island somewhere off the coast, East Coast. And they had servants, and apparently there was a rebellion. And the servants warned them that, you know, of the rebellion to come. And so they left that very night, you know, and they may have escaped with their lives. all this was a very heavy burden for her, you know, and her self-esteem was low, and, you know, she had her head down and didn't look at people. She knew what she wanted. She taught classes on the side. Then she went into the waves during World War II, and she taught the waves. The women had important, you know, what they were planning. She said she was brave. The story goes that they actually met while standing in line to sign up for a class. So that's how they got to know each other. It was difficult for women at this time to become college teachers or to go to grad school. And at first she failed some kind of test that she had to take for her master's degree. And she kind of gave up on getting that advanced degree, but was later encouraged by a professor to go back and ask for a retake that test, and she passed it and then got a master's degree. And this allowed women to get to teach science. But when the administrator looked at her grades and her transcript, he decided, you know, that he should give her a chance. Birth defect where apparently the amniotic sac wraps around that the child should be allowed to die. Took him and ran down the street to another doctor and got that doctor to treat him. technical thing. And I think even kids in college today would, you know, they would be amazed at what he did. On the wall. And I saw this when I was 10 years to build, I think it was in a glass case, you know, with all the rigging and everything. So he was where my dad was raised very often. So I was fascinated by the ship and his tools and all that. My dad became an ecologist, a teacher, a dedicated researcher. Reminded me. So it was a wonderful experience. You know, we'd camped a lot too, but coming to Arizona, very rural area, you know, up in high desert, in a canyon going up into some mountains. It was a wonderful experience to be a 7-year-old. Seeds down, you know, in contact for the moisture to get into. son and his family in Atlanta, my mom had sent a package from